excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this big game edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the long drive home from Palo Alto. After a long season, a long game, a long season. And it almost seems like an act of mercy to have finally put this one to sleep. I can't imagine that if we'd played another 10 games, things would have ever gotten any better. And, you know, that's a feeling I haven't had for a long time. You know, even in the rough years for Tedford, the year that we first didn't go to a bowl, you know, I felt like that team had something left it could try to prove. Maybe it wouldn't have if the season had worn on, but it felt like there might be something there. And the three-win season, it felt like there were times where, you know, maybe something positive was happening, even though overall the last two games were very disappointing, but you thought maybe if they got another crack at a couple of those weaker teams, they might have, you know, turned something around. But not this year. This year, there's no reason to think we play the entire season a second time that things get any better. If anything, I worry that we don't win the one we won. Just a dreadful, dreadful season. Spent a few minutes on the game. The defense has just been horrible. There's just no other way to say it, and it showed itself again today. Stanford hasn't put more than 31 points on the board since September. They are not a high-scoring offense. Hogan is not a great quarterback, but he sure threw like one today. The number of guys who got open, the number of times one guy, the same guy, repetitively, got open way behind the corners. Just unfathomable. And it wasn't small misses. It was huge misses. And you just have to wonder, again, I mean, maybe at this point they've given up, you know, and they being the coaching staff, on trying to meaningfully improve. How is this team going to get, you know, if the season did continue, you know, there doesn't seem to be any adjustments to say our corners just can't do this. We can't just let these guys get behind. We have to go into a different sort of coverage, a cover two, or something different. Maybe this is what they did, and, you know, one could debate the wisdom of it, but it's also not horrific. Maybe at some point they said, at this point we might as well just work on player development, and so letting them get burned playing the defense we want them to play is as good as anything else. Hard to tell, but the score was, to some degree, a little bit deceptive, because actually when it got down to the game in the trenches, the Bears held up okay, but they just got torched with the big plays. And it really spoke to just how bad this defense is. Last week, same thing, right? Colorado, A offense that has been struggling, has looked as bad as Cal's has looked much of the season, put up 41 points. There's just no debate that this is a terrible, terrible defense. Now, there is no debate as well that there are a lot of injuries. But you know what? This defense ends up going into the annals of both Cal and Pac-12/10/8 history as one of the worst. I haven't done the statistical markup, and I probably will here in the next couple weeks as we head into the off season. But one of the worst ever. And you know what? There have been plenty of other teams, maybe not this year, who've had lots of injury trouble. There's been plenty of other teams who haven't had a lot of talent, irrelevant of injury problems. And none of them, or most of them, have not done this bad. I really think Bud needs to be fired. It's, you know, there are people out there who don't think at all about the consequences of a statement like that. They, you know, fire him, fire that, and without any sense of thinking about the person that you have to fire and what that does to them and whether it's truly just and all of those things. I'm not like that. I think about this. I know that this is a man whose family will have to uproot again, and I'm not going to say that if it really doesn't need to happen. If there's reason to think, no, that's not the fundamental problem here. But I just think the man is 15 to 20 years behind the rest of the world is what defense in college needs to look like. And I think he has some instinct and talent, but it's just not enough. And frankly, we would have done much, much better with Pendergast this year. We need another, it doesn't have to be a 3-4, but a coach who understands what the benefits of the modern 3-4 are and integrates that into his offense. Or into his defense, excuse me. Offensively, I find myself in a bit of a conundrum trying to understand things. This team is, well, it's dependent upon getting into a rhythm. I mean, really dependent on it. When it happens, boy, does everything click. When it doesn't, man, does it not go well. And, I mean, we saw that on the first drive. Boom, 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 boom. Great rhythm. Everything happened. Touchdown. And I worry about a system that requires that you have such good rhythm. That it's just aching for trouble. In fact, actually, Tedford had suffered from this as well. His system was very much dependent on not the same sort of thing, but what he was dependent on was high percentage stuff had to work at a high percentage, and he couldn't afford any things that took him out of his high percentage game. So it was high percentage, high percentage, high percentage, high percentage, and then boom, if you got a 10-yard penalty, it was all over because now everything was low percentage, and except for the middle of his era, he didn't have the talents to make something happen out of those tough situations. And this kind of feels, it's not the same, but it has the similar kind of feeling to it. It feels like it doesn't take much to disrupt it. And then once it's disruptive, it's trouble. So I worry about this offense, frankly. I'm not sure that it's what it needs to be. I'm kind of feeling like, frankly, the world is going to head back more towards the traditional pro set offense here in the next decade. It seems every year somebody finally figures out Oregon, and once they do, everybody after them seems to have it figured out. How Arizona beat them so thoroughly today, 42-16, is beyond me. And it has to be they looked at the film of how Stanford did it and mimicked it. And I've always felt there's been something a little bit gimmicky that Not this, and I hate saying it because it overstates it, but at the end of the day, it just feels like you're playing a game to try to beat the house, and that comes with a bunch of risks. And when the house figures it out, they're in a much stronger position. It's a weak analogy, but oh well. So, I don't know. But on the other hand, look at Washington State. Washington State is getting better. And obviously the Bear Raid more closely resembles their way of doing things. I don't know. We'll see. But I think at the bigger picture, what worries me is I just feel like coaching has not been very good. I know about all the injuries. I know about all the problems. But you know what? We still saw a ton of stuff today, the last game of the season, where there's no more excuse for, you know, youth and not getting to play a lot of games, of just stupid mistakes, bad play, things that shouldn't be happening to a well-coached team. And there's just no getting around that this is not a well-coached team. You see it on special teams, you see it on offense, you see it on defense. And I think more than anything, more than the scheme, more than the wins and losses, than the statistics, that's the part that most worries me about the Dykes regime, is just that I just feel like we're not looking at a well-coached team. And I've never seen a coach who had long-term success being poorly coached. Stanford's a well-coached team. They're going to have some downtime. They rode through a very good sequence of events the last 5 years that worked out beautifully for them. Great, talented guys coming through. Everything clicking. Looks like they're back to the Rose Bowl, for crying out loud. Oregon, you really just had to stomp on our hearts twice today, didn't you? I mean, it's bad enough to get killed. It's worse than that for everyone in the stadium to cheer, yay, we have a shot at the Rose Bowl again. They're losing a bunch of people next year. They're going to go through a cycle, you know. Every team does. And the question is, you know, do they rebound? And actually, it's an open question. We don't know. But one of the things you look at is, how are the fundamentals? How are they coached? Is this a well-coached team? If you put together good coaching and good recruiting, and I mean true good recruiting, not what rivals and scout, you know, indicates, which is a rough approximation of good recruiting, but not perfect. Then you're going to have your good days if you do those two things. It's pretty simple. Good coaching, a reasonably, proficient scheme on both sides of the ball, and good recruiting. That's the key to everything. So you just look at what we're sitting at right now at Cal. Recruiting, we don't know. There's reasons to believe there's trouble, but I'll leave that one open for the time being. Scheme, well, I talked about that a little bit, you know, maybe a bit early to tell. You got to give them a little bit of time to implement it on offense. Defense stinks, no doubt about that. That's without a question. But offense, maybe it's there, what have you. But then you come to the biggie, the good coaching, and I just not seeing it. Maybe the injuries are that bad. Maybe everything is not nearly as bad. So maybe to kind of shift gears, so where do we go from here? Because we know the biggest move we will see in the offseason is, you know, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it is the largest we might see, is Bu being let go. And maybe one or two other, you know, position coaches with him. That's the biggest. We know Dykes is not going to be fired. So how do we as a fan base who have a great sense of trepidation about this coaching staff deal with that? And here's what I think. Here's my suggestion. Here's how I'm going to go about it. I have a lot of beautiful fun days in Berkeley with my family. And even today, despite the fact that there was a lot to grumble about, you know what? There are a lot worse days in life than what happened today. So I'm going to just enjoy myself. Sometime towards the end of next year, maybe we'll start talking about whether heat needs to be put on the administration to change things. But there's just no reason to beat ourselves up over this. We might as well just accept the reality of what it is, analyze what's happening. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, well, it's still not looking any better. But there's no reason to just pound on it and pound on it and pound on it. Let's just see where it goes. You know, because when I saw the big list, I forget which reporter it was, but when I saw the big list of all the injured names who we expect to get back next year, it's a pretty big, encouraging list of people that you go, wow, that will make a big difference to get those guys back. And then you've got young guys who will continue to get better. I do think Goff still has some upside potential. I don't think he's the savior of the program type of guy, but I think with the rest of a system around him, he can be reasonably proficient. We need a run game to make his life a lot easier. We need an offensive line that can protect him. And he's going to have to work on his touch over the top so that it's not all this underneath stuff all the time. Speaking of which, Klein didn't show me anything special today. I don't think he's necessarily any worse than Goff. I think actually he might be just as good. But he also doesn't show me anything that says he's any better. He makes plenty of mistakes. He's not doing anything that makes me say, oh, geez, why aren't we playing Klein? So, you know, let's just see. Let's hope. Let's watch the recruiting cycle to see if they can close in on some big guys. I think my target would be 5 4 stars. And, okay, you have to be careful with that because star grabbing is a bad thing. But just from a ballpark thing of getting 5 guys who we feel are 4-star quality guys that really contribute to the team, particularly the big uglies. If we get 2 or 3 of the big uglies of that nature, that is success. And, you know, the rest 3 stars. And he's got to bring in 20 guys. There's plenty of room on this team for more recruits. We need a big class. One of the things Tedford did in the last few years that was disappointing is he a little bit underfilled his spots, and I never liked it. So he's got to bring in a full-size class. And we'll find out in February what he does. It's still early. Unfortunately, one of the best things that can help you seal a good class is strong performance on the field. But it's not the only thing. Facilities, some belief in the future of the program, which that's, I think, the biggest blow for him right now. He didn't give them any sense of hope. But there's one other piece you can go to, and do not underestimate it. It's the you are going to play right away factor. The reason 5 stars sometimes don't go to USC when they otherwise want to is because there's a sophomore 5-star playing right now. Or, you know, who somebody will be a sophomore when they join the team. Why? You're going to be sitting on the bench for 3 years. You know, that's very discouraging for guys who get to play every down in high school. And so if they find a program that they feel like they can excel in and get to play early, it's very compelling to them. Particularly when the rest of the pieces of the puzzle are there. They like the facilities, they like the school, and they have some faith in that the coaching staff's going to do good things. Those, you know, things all matter. So, again, we'll see. It's early. There's plenty of time to go get some recruits, and there are some things that he can message. It'll be interesting to see how good he understands, how well he understands the strengths of Cal, and how to market them to the recruits. And then we'll see spring ball. We'll see all these guys come back from all their injuries. We'll see into the next fall. Next year's schedule doesn't look nearly as daunting. We go to Northwestern, a team that really actually is not as good as we thought. They've played very mediocre this season. And I'm not sure about this, but my impression is they're not exactly, you know, part of the reason they were highly ranked this year is they were sitting on a lot of, experienced senior guys. So that would suggest next year they might be a little thinner. There's no second A team on the list for next year. And I don't know who fills the other two spots. I'm sure there's at least one FCS team. I'm sure some mid-major type of team. So, you know, that'll be three winnable games. And that goes a long way. People, the year that Cal was, the Homo lost his job, people don't realize how much it hurt that the Rutgers game got pushed back from September, the weekend after September 11th, to the end of the season. Those early wins give a lot of confidence. And if Cal had had three wins, just look at the difference of how Colorado approached the game against Cal and how Cal did. And there's other factors, of course, like how the coaching staff does things. But the world just seems different when you are 3-6 as opposed to 1-8. It just does. It shouldn't, because it doesn't mean anything. Same thing with Arizona, right? Arizona just had a huge win that really bolstered their program. But before that, they didn't have any meaningful wins under their belt, really. They weren't that good. But again, they beat up on a lot of really weak teams, and that gives confidence, builds the program. So it will help next year to have three winnable games in the non-conference slate. And I also think we still have the better of the two, the conference rotation. Arizona and Colorado are easier teams to play than Arizona State and Utah. We'll have Colorado at home, not on the road. Fortunately, we're going to have to go to Arizona. That will be a challenge. To USC, but UCLA at home. And UCLA, it always seems to matter where we play them. I think my point is the schedule sets up a lot better next year, and it, particularly with those non-conference games, if they can get some wins early, even if really the program is no better, it will give the impression that things are better, and that will help the team, that will help the fans. A lot of things could go right based on a good non-conference result. So let's not tear ourselves apart, I guess is what I'm going to say. Dykes is here for a little while, at least next year. If he does terrible next year, I could imagine him getting fired after next year. But if he shows even a modicum of improvement, a four-win season, he'll be here for a third. So, and remember, we have a much easier non-conference slate, so a four-win season, you know, may mean three non-conference wins and Colorado. So he's not going anywhere immediately, and I don't think there's any reason to get too worked up about that yet. Let's just let the cards play out, enjoy ourselves at the games, look at our opponents and see where the opportunities are, and hope this coaching staff gets a lot better. If there's a good news is that they're very young. It's a very young coaching staff. In fact, probably too young. But if they're up and coming kind of guys, it will make a difference. They will work hard. They will go back through their mistakes. They will realize how to better coach. They will make adjustments. I know they're hungry. Let's put it that way. So we'll see. I want to thank everybody for listening this year. I know that, it's just me talking on my thing. I could put more effort into it and I just throw it together, but I enjoy being able to. I hope you enjoy listening. And I hope, thank you to all my blog readers. I appreciate your readership as well. Like your comments. And probably won't be a ton of blogging this off season. But I will definitely be back next fall. I think I've gotten to a comfortable rhythm of the amount of blogging that I want to do during the season, and will continue to kind of keep the rhythm I have right now. So let's wrap it up with that. Another season in the books. Let's hope next season's a lot better. Go Bears. On the road again.